You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is board certified in pulmonary medicine, internal medicine, with advanced training in, my favorite part, anti-aging.
That's me, Dr. Larry Emder.
Dr. Larry Emder.
East
Hi,
County,
Dr. Emder.
Alvarado Hospital, Chief Medical Officer. Great to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Alvarado Hospital, who's actually sponsoring our show today, who's a fantastic hospital.
We have a lot of new programs that we're rolling out, and today we have two guests on the show, which will be talking about one of those programs for Parkinson's disease. Curry Caswell, welcome, and Deborah Ross.
Yeah.
We'll be on a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But it's after Christmas, and we all have a little bit of issues. For me, that's I actually gained 3 pounds.
Did you really?
I'm
impressed that it was only three, because after the feast that I had, it's a little more than that.
Yeah.
But we won't go into that.
So now is the battle to get those 3 pounds off.
Oh.
And we're shopping for new exercise equipment.
Really?
Yeah. I'm looking at something called the Power Plate.
Are you really?
Yeah, I really. It's a this device which is a vibration,
right? That you stand on.
You stand on. Mm-hmm. You actually have a trainer to learn how to use this equipment, and it's promoted for weight loss. Though the studies for that are not really the greatest, but there's other health benefits from the Power Plate.
When I was an athlete, when I was golfing, I looked into getting one of those, except they're extremely expensive, because it was supposed to really help training. And looking back, I don't really know why, but...
That's a high-frequency vibration, which helps tone your muscles. Supposedly, it increases flexibility, and it also probably works with balance. So it's something, I think it augments the training program. You know, you still have to do your cardiovascular. You still have to do your weights.
Mm-hmm.
Adding the Power Plate, I believe, it does have an extra benefit.
Yeah, and I think you can get it at the fair, can't you?
This is the confusing. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that I was at the A4M, which is an American Conference on Anti-Aging.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had a device there, which... with not only vibrates, but like rotates. I mean, and so it's good for balance.
Like it goes off balance. Okay.
It goes from left to right, and it was a lot cheaper than using the Power Plate, which my wife wanted to get, and I would not allow her to get it.
Why not? You buy expensive shoes.
Yeah.
She can get the exercise equipment.
Well, because I wanted her to get the best. And I think the gold standard out there is the Power Plate.
The brand name.
Yeah. So though I've never used the Power Plate, I have been researching. The good news about research is it doesn't cost any money.
She
actually uses that at her gym.
Which gym does she go to?
She goes to, I don't really know the name of it, but it's a women's gym.
Oh, okay.
In the East County. And they have 6 Power Plates there. So she actually signs up for Power Plate training, which she really likes.
And so does it work? Is she?
So here's some of the key advantages for the Power Plate is our next door neighbor, Pepe, actually has a Power Plate, which she got at the fair. So it's not the true Power Plate.
Okay.
But she uses it for conditioning, number one. And then for number two, it's helped her osteoporosis. And I think this probably, especially for women, does work. And she has for herself. She's actually had an improvement in her bone density scores using
really?
The Power Plate. Yeah, so this is cool, very cool technology.
So if I have bad knees, could that be a good thing to purchase?
Well, that's why I'm interested in it, because as you know, I have the bad knee. We're doing the trigger point.
You have a lot of stuff going on.
But I'm using everything I'm learning on this show, like from Dr. Hansen, to try to keep skiing, which I'm going to do next month.
Oh.
But it actually helps with mobility of your joints, and I'm hoping it'll help me with my chronic knee pain.
So are you getting one?
Yes. The answer is definitely. So I could buy one used.
Okay.
So I need to check it out at this gym. They have several that are for sale. 50% off still costs a lot of money. And then they also have personal grade, which are a lot cheaper, which you can get for the home. So... there's still work to be done, but I'm hoping I'll be able to lose a little bit of weight and condition myself.
What do you mean lose weight?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you say 3 pounds, but
3 pounds
what is your body
big.
Like body weight?
Yeah, it's water weight, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still, you know, a trick of the trade. What about yourself? Yeah. What do you, you told me you gained a few pounds. What are you doing to get in shape post holiday season? Is not a good way to answer that. Start the answer to that question.
I don't know. Trying to be healthy.
Yeah.
Dr. Imder, we are on this show every week, and it always rotates back to nutrition, eating healthy.
Absolutely.
So basically, I need to just start by saying no to the French fries.
Oh,
but right. They're so good, you know, and chocolate and whatever. But now that all that's gone, like all the See's candy is out the door,
yeah.
It's been
eaten. That's a problem for
I'm
all
limited
us.
Anyway. Yeah. So I'm back to like oatmeal and
yeah, so getting back to our normal routine, mm-hmm. You know, staying active, doing your exercise. Mm-hmm. Do you go to a gym?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm up at like Frog's Fitness. Okay. Up there in the Northern County. And I have started to, I'm kind of into like juices right now.
Juices are very healthy.
What do you think about that?
I think, I think you're great. You know, I juice in the morning. I mean,
What do you juice? What do you put in?
I'm doing, I don't know if it's juicing as much as like this morning, I had a rice protein with my almond milk with blueberries, which, you know, huge
Did
in antioxidants.
Did you mix it all together?
I've got this thing called the bullet.
Okay. The magic bullet. The magic bullet is
and,
awesome.
And, you know, you put in all your ingredients and you put this thing in and mixes it up, put in a couple ice cubes.
Oh, just a couple, like, pumps on it and it just...
Yeah, and away it goes. And the nice thing is the protein fills me up so I'm not hungry throughout the morning. And then the fruit, I mean, the blueberries, that's got to be, I think, one of the best superfoods out there for antioxidants.
Absolutely.
And then the almond milk, how cool is that? 40 calories, no cholesterol, it doesn't taste
good. I was
going
to say, it tastes you like get, you know, milk.
Yeah, yeah, but you get used to it. You go, this is good. This is good. As you're trying to get down.
It's like a mental game.
Yes.
What about acai? I'm very into, you know what? Interesting. I have a friend that has gotten me onto this acai chocolate.
Chocolate is great.
Yeah, but it's...
But I'm not familiar. What is S-I-E? What is that?
Acai?
Yeah, I'm not even familiar with that one. You got one over
really?
Me. Really? I missed that
acai
one.
Acai bowls and this is... Really? You know, it's like the super fruit.
Oh, okay. I did hear about that.
Yeah.
It's from like South America or something?
Yes, exactly. Okay. And they have all the different juices.
It's got to be good.
Well, its main focus is anti-aging. I'm shocked that you don't know about this.
I probably heard about it, but my memory isn't as good as it used to be. Yeah.
Well, that kind of begs the question. You're like the epitome of health. And if you're not connected to this thing, then maybe it's not as crazy as
I'm not doing a lot of juicing with, the different... stores that are out there that sell juices, but just because I'm not doing it doesn't mean
but
it can't be good.
But they have the bowls and things as well, you know? It's like this.
Yeah, you have to educate
me. They put the granola
me.
And then the banana great. And you can make it at
So you, do you make this at home? Do you buy the fruit or you?
Can't, yeah, we make it at home because you can get the little packets that are in the freezer section and then you bring it home, you put a little apple juice in it, mix it up, put it in a bowl and then top it with like granola and
So is this like a meal substitute or is this a snack that you do?
It could be a meal. Like, I've had it for breakfast. You know, it's hearty.
So, do you know what vitamins are in here? These are your B vitamins, I'm sure.
I have no idea. Everybody's like, acai, it's a superfruit. You won't age. You're healthy and no wrinkles. Done.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah. So, I'm doing a rice protein for breakfast. I can do my acai for lunch. And then for snack, I can do my dark chocolate and the... I'm going to get on my power plate, so I should lose those. I can do all this while I'm on my power plate.
Yep, and a couple trips to the bathroom, because it doesn't sound like you've got a whole lot of solid substance there.
That's another radio show. That's our detoxification show. We'll save that for a later time.
Well, this is a good time to do it. New Year's is right around the corner. Isn't that everybody's big... resolution.
Yeah. So, I mean, the latest thing is that you really should not have a New Year's resolution. You should really just be doing whatever you're going to do year round. Mm. Because, you know, when you get the New Year's resolution, you're going to join the gym from January 1st to January 31st. You know, the gyms are full. And then from February through the next December, there's no one there. So what you want to do rather than do a resolution, you just want to get in the habit of doing and going on a regular basis.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
But something's got to kickstart you, don't you think? What gets you to that point?
Yeah, yeah. Usually the resolutions, my reading is that's not what does it.
Well, I think the problem with resolutions is that people, they're not very realistic about them. It's like, right. Okay, I'm not going to the gym at all. And then boom, the next day, I'm going 5 days a week for an hour every morning at 5 a.m. And
then
this
you're sore.
Practical.
You're sore as hell week number two.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, let's start by something that I can achieve. You know, you're going 3 days a week at a time that works for you. And I don't know.
What a great way to start the new year. I mean, you know, change your diet. With, you know,
listen
do the
to
juices,
the show.
We'll listen just, to the show.
Yeah, we'll just set you up.
Start your exercise. Should be great.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
so what's our show going to be about this week?
You introduced our guests already. This is an amazing show.
Yeah.
We're talking about, there's a new program over at Alvarado Hospital that we're dealing with.
Parkinson's.
Yeah.
Scary disease.
Absolutely. But I think it's more, the girls were saying something about it earlier, not necessarily being a disease that deals with, you know, shortness of life, but we're dealing with more quality of life. So
we're going to be back in a couple minutes. We're going to be talking about Parkinson's disease, which is primarily a movement disorder. Mm-hmm. I think the good news is that it's relatively rare, but it's out there. And a lot of our family members, older family members, you know, may have this disease. And we're going to make everybody an expert on Parkinson's disease. So please join us. The next part of the show, we'll be mm-hmm. right back.
Stay with us after this message from Alvarado Hospital.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Transition is always difficult, especially after surgery. At Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, we make sure it's as efficient as possible. As one of the highest-rated Medicare facilities in San Diego, we offer a variety of services to meet your needs. From subacute care to general physical therapy, we'll help create a plan to get you back to where you want to be. If your doctor recommends skilled nursing as your next step, come visit us and see how our skilled care has what you need to get back on your feet. For more information, please visit our website, villalaspalmascares.com.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and had the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Ender.
And Larry. I'm so happy that I made such a big impression on you. We've been working together 6 months. This is usually what I do with women. So I'm used to that, so I don't feel badly at all. Yes, I am Dr. Larry Ender, woman killer. But we just lost Kendra Vallone, so but I have an introduction to do. I don't need you. I can do it without you.
Please continue.
But I have two of my coworkers from Alvarado Hospital are on the show today. One is Carrie Caswell, who's a physical therapist, and she's a licensed physical therapist with over 20 years of experience. And she's worked in numerous settings. And for the last 15 years, she's been at Alvarado Hospital, SDRI, which stands for San Diego Rehab Institute. And she currently specializes in pelvic floor dysfunction and has a certification in vestibular and inner ear balance disorders.
Oh.
I think more importantly, she was going to be talking to us today about Parkinson's disease. And Deborah Ross, MACC-SLP, is the CEO and founding member of speech-language pathologists at San Diego Speech Therapy. And she's also a speech pathologist at Alvarado Hospital and SDRI, and holds certification in LSVT Loud, as well as electrical stimulation for swallowing disorders. So welcome to the show. And I guess my first question is, especially for our audience, is what is Parkinson's disease?
So Parkinson's disease is a disease that affects the movement systems of the body. I believe, and you can, you know, back me up on this, it's part of the lack of dopamine in
right.
the substantia nigra and resulting in decreased movement disorders with people. So some of the early symptoms of Parkinson's from a movement standpoint would be that someone has, you know, short shuffling steps, they do not move their trunk very well, they some early indicators, family members may notice this earlier, and someone may have falls. So just lack of movement.
And their hands kind of shake sometimes too, right?
And tremors also can be a symptom as well that may come early on in
is that, a resting tremor or is it like an intention tremor?
What's the difference?
An intention tremor, you get a tremor just when you like go to point and touch at something.
Oh.
Resting tremor, they have a tremor all the time.
Oh.
It tends to be a resting tremor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned dopamine, a lack of dopamine.
So this is
that's,
one of the neurotransmitters.
That's the happy.
Yeah, it's one of the neurotransmitters in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. I think that's kind of, as you point out, happy.
The happy, I want to say happy drug, because it's not a drug, but the chemical that runs through your body. So are these, somebody with Parkinson's, do they tend to be more depressed?
No, not typically more depressed unless it comes along later as they're adjusting to their disease process.
Okay.
But it's not a hallmark of Parkinson's.
Okay.
It's more a secondary effect. In terms of the dopamine and the effects on the movement system, what happens more typically is more of a diminishment of what their movement system and their perceptions are. So, for instance, with their communication, they might have really unclear speech, kind of mumbly.
Mm-hmm.
Their voice would be too quiet. They might be asked to repeat themselves regularly. They might have difficulty swallowing because they're not using enough force when they swallow. And then their self-perception of what they're doing is diminished. So, in other words, if you ask them, could you speak louder? They say, oh, I was. Because they aren't aware how much they've diminished in their motoric functions.
Okay. And I think as we were kind of talking earlier before the show started, you had said something about the fact that this is not something that we're dealing with that necessarily shortens life, but it's more quality of life. Is that correct? Is that kind of what we're looking at?
Because it's primarily a movement disorder, it's more of their mobility slows down, their voice slows down. They may develop swallowing problems. So typically, unless there are complications from that disease that will limit lifespan. However, it's more of a quality, like they can't play with their grandchildren or, you know, go around and sing at the choir or at church and those type of things. Their quality is diminished.
Okay, I just had a friend that was diagnosed with it. He's about 70 years old, and I just saw him a couple months ago, and I would never have thought. Like, he was just spunky and outgoing and loud, and we just found out. So, I mean, are there obviously different stages? Are there different ages that this is something that happens, or?
Well, Parkinson's can be diagnosed fairly early in some cases. 30s, 40s, it tends to be a little more what we would call malignant when it's diagnosed that early. Typically, it's diagnosed much later in life.
Okay.
And yes, there are stages that people progress through, and one of the best ways to maintain a healthy lifestyle after a diagnosis of Parkinson's is to be engaged from day one in therapy and the proactive treatments that are out there, some really well-researched treatment programs that really promote slowing down the progression of the disease and
mm-hmm.
the various stages that you were mentioning, and at the same time enhancing quality of life and function with mobility and communication.
Okay. Now, this is something that Alvarado Hospital is doing now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a brand new. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
So LSVT Loud was was first introduced out of the program probably in the 80s. And that was more of the speech component of Parkinson's.
Okay.
Down the road, they developed LSVT Big, and that's the physical therapy side of that, where we work with full body movements in addition to the loud voice. So if they were programs developed, or their specific protocols to address the unique movement and speech impairments of people with Parkinson's disease. It's the program, it's a repetitive and intensive so that you get the better learning and carryover for the skills of the of those with Parkinson's.
In our program, we really kind of got the team going about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the only team-based programs in San Diego County. So we're excited. It's LSVT Loud and LSVT Big.
What does LSVT stand for?
It actually stands for Lee Silverman Voice Therapy, and they don't use that terminology anymore. But the researchers of the program and the people who have done all of this work continue to use that as a tribute to the original patient who inspired the program. Her name was Lee Silverman. She was an individual with Parkinson's disease. This was back in 87 in Scottsdale, Arizona. And the therapists were approached by the family, and one comment sparked the whole thing. The comment was, if only we could hear and understand her.
Hmm.
And that started the therapist on a track, which now 45 studies later is an incredibly well-researched protocol with level one evidence, wonderful outcomes. It's pretty exciting stuff.
So your program works, it sounds like, with both speech mm-hmm. and swallowing.
Speech and swallowing.
And then the second part, just general movement.
Yeah, there's the speech component, working with a speech pathologist who's certified in LSVT Loud. And then there's the movement component, where you're either working with a physical therapist or an occupational therapist who's certified in LSVT Big, or both, depending on the needs of the patient.
And where do you get your referrals? Do they come from primary care physicians or from neurologists or
they surgeons? Can come from both.
And what are you seeing?
I think mostly I've seen neurologists from the neurologist.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about Parkinson's, too, is that sometimes an individual will be seeing a therapist because they've been falling or their voice is not loud enough, they're not being understood, they're having to repeat themselves, and the therapist is noticing patterns which haven't been connected to any sort of diagnosis yet. So the therapist can be instrumental in making sure there's a referral back to a neurologist, or in some cases to a neurologist, so that a proper diagnosis can be rendered and then treatment can be initiated. A lot of treatment includes the pharmaceutical component, the dopamine replacement through carbo-levodopa and other medications. And in advanced stages, some individuals need state-of-the-art sort of electronics, if you want to say, like a deep brain stimulator, an implant.
Wow.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So someone's diagnosed with them. What's the lifespan of this disease? Is it like a 5-year disease, 20-year disease?
Individuals can have, I had a patient that had, she's had the diagnosis for more than 40 years.
Wow.
She's in her 90s. So it really doesn't impact lifespan, except as Carrie was mentioning, the way that it can sometimes result in complications, like a fall.
It's not the quantity of your life, it's
right.
really the quality of
exactly.
your life.
Exactly, exactly.
So how can somebody promote healthy living while they,
is there anything we can do to prevent from getting this disease, or is it just kind of in the cards?
I believe it's in the cards.
So is this a genetic, is this run in families?
I don't believe it is a genetic component to it.
Do you think it's environmental? I mean, we probably don't know the answer.
It may be. I think there are a lot of things that we don't know that are possibly environmental.
Like, is it toxins in the environment?
Dr. Emder,
is it this juice you're eating?
Did you say that there's still a lot of information just kind of out there on that people haven't really nailed it down yet, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't know everything about every disease.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm shocked.
But, you know, I figure we have these experts here. I'll just torture them.
Yeah, no kidding. Kind of sounds like it. But I'm really curious to hear more about the program and what that kind of looks like. But let's take a quick break, and we'll hear right from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk more about this program that you ladies have. So stay with us.
When it comes to treatment of heart disease, there are many choices, but there's no better choice than Alvarado Hospital, right here, close to home. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist with Alvarado Hospital. I am proud that our specialists bring a level of knowledge, skill, and technology that have greatly improved the lives of those in our community for the past 40 years. For more information about our cardiovascular and stroke services, please visit alvaradohospital.com or call 1-800-ALVARADO.
Alvarado is proud to be part of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
The hospital is a place for healing, but what if you're not ready to go home? If your doctor's recommending skilled nursing for extended care, Villa Las Palmas is your next step. From subacute needs to physical and occupational therapy, we handle the highest level of care outside the hospital. With our around-the-clock doctor coverage, you know you're getting the best care possible with a plan to get you stable and back home. Ask your doctor about Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center and let us help you get back to health. For more information, please visit our website, villalaspalmascares.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder, and our special guest today, Deborah Ross, who is a speech pathologist over at Alvarado Hospital, and Carrie Caswell, physical therapist over there as well. And we're talking about Parkinson's disease. So, ladies, thanks so much for coming on today. I know Parkinson's is kind of... a hot button for people. We've got a lot of celebrities out there right now that have it, especially, you know, those who are known, Michael J. Fox, Linda Ronstadt. But Alvarado Hospital, one of our just awesome hospitals that we've got here in San Diego, has created a new program to really help Parkinson's patients. So obviously, you two kind of being the experts in this, what are some of the complaints that Parkinson's patients have, and what can we, you know, really, what is your... what are you guys promoting as far as, you know, your system over there?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us on and talking about our program. It's really exciting. The interesting thing is that Parkinson's patients themselves might not have the complaints as much as their family and their friends would. Mm. So by that, I mean that they don't always recognize the changes because they're happening very gradually. And they're one of the hallmarks or features of Parkinson's is that the individual's self-perceptions become what we would call in the field undercalibrated. So they don't actually identify the level of impairment that they're at as readily as an outsider, so a family or a friend or a therapist or someone that's assessing them. Some of the changes, for example, in speech would be that they would have a mismatch between how loud they think they're being and how loud they actually are. So one of the big complaints from family and friends, spouses and whatnot, is that they're mumbling or they're speaking too quickly and way too softly. So we can't hear them. We can't understand what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And then the individual will be complaining, I'm always being asked to repeat myself. Does everyone have a hearing problem? I speak just fine. I'm speaking loud enough. They say I'm not. So that's actually one of the features of Parkinson's, is that mismatch between the individual's self-perception of their motor output in speech and movement and what they're actually doing.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your modalities to improve speech?
So that's one of the really exciting things for me as a clinician. I've been practicing 18 years, and I think it was about in 2007 I was introduced to the LSVT Loud program. And when I started seeing the level of research and the incredible outcomes with it, I definitely had to go out and get certified. And what I learned as a clinician actually changed the way that I treat a lot of my other patients, not just individuals with Parkinson's. Because I really learned that with the LSVT Loud program in particular, that one of the things we need to address is that under-calibration in a patient's perceptions. So we need to help them adjust and learn how they are under-calibrating and under-perceiving what's happening. And so, for example, in conversation, we would typically be speaking around 70 decibels in the U.S. of A.
Okay.
In an interpersonal communication, so about arm's length apart. Of course, that varies depending on how much noise is going on in the background. So if you're at a party, you're going to be talking a lot louder than 70 decibels. But if it's just a quiet interpersonal communication with regular background noise, 70 decibels is a good target. The individuals with Parkinson's that I evaluate come in and they typically are around 58 decibels or 60 decibels. But if you ask them, how loud were you being? Oh, they think they're being 70 decibels for sure. So once you show them using an SPL meter, a sound pressure level meter, the numbers, they're shocked typically.
So they have the capacity to speak louder then.
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the amazing things about the first visit is we show them what they're capable of, and they actually didn't think they still had it. Mm. And we get them doing it, and we demonstrate it, and then they're a lot more motivated, a lot more interested in most cases to do something about it.
What about with their swallowing? What do you work on their swallowing to improve that?
So the LSVT Loud program doesn't address that directly, but it has a wonderful indirect effect, as we're learning with the outcomes that are coming out, the research. And then there are traditional methods of working with swallowing. One of the number one things is what's happening at the oral phase of swallowing. So that phase when you're preparing your food to swallow it, or your liquids, involves your tongue, your lips, and the pressures that are happening intraorally. And so we help the individual have more intraoral pressure so that when they swallow, there's force behind it, and what they're trying to swallow will move through the throat and down into the esophagus with ease and without difficulty, without choking, for instance.
Mm-hmm. So what's a typical session look like? What do you guys focus on?
So in LSVT Loud, we, first of all, are trying to help them calibrate to an appropriate level, so understand the mismatch between how quiet they're being versus how loud they need to be. Mm-hmm. We help them understand how what we call the prosody, which is basically the melody in your voice, that's your personality. So if I'm speaking like this, of course, everyone knows that's monotone. Mm-hmm. But if I use my voice, my personality, I'm using prosody. I'm also, in American English, conveying a lot of meaning or sarcasm or humor using prosody and intonation. Mm-hmm. The individuals with Parkinson's flatten out, and they tend to not have that there, and so people misunderstand what they're saying. Some of their humor kind of dies down. They feel a little isolated, a little bit withdrawn. I see stories quite frequently about people who've withdrawn from activities in the community because of this. So we work on, as I mentioned, the voice, the loudness, projection, the intonation or prosody, and certainly articulation, or how clear and crisp your English sounds are. And that's actually one of the big outcomes with the LSVT and its research, is that there's a huge impact on what happens at the articulation level.
So, Curry, what are some of the things you're doing with these patients?
So with the LSVT Big, we do use the same principles as they are doing with the LOUD program. Some of, you know, we address more of the, obviously, the big movement, the motor, the walking. You know, some of the complaints are unable to get in and out of a car. They have trouble dressing or even riding. So we will, you know, during the evaluation, find out what are the specific things that they are having trouble with, and what their goals are, and maybe break down some of those long-term goals into smaller movement patterns. Again, as Deb was saying with Parkinson's, they just don't have that calibration. They think they are moving fine or walking fine, but what they think is normal is not normal. So the movement patterns that we do during a therapy session are to make them bigger and intense movement patterns.
So do you see improvement in your patients over time?
Not every time. During the progression of the program is an intense program, 4 times a week for 4 weeks,
wow.
So 16 visits. They will be given their exercises to do. They will also be doing those same exercises at home, so twice a day. So it is pretty intense. But you do see week-to-week improvements with them. And, you know, one of the goals is to get them to calibrate that my bigger movements is a normal person's normal.
And how do you get them to do that? Because I was just going to ask, how do you get them to kind of buy into something like that if they've all of a sudden gone into it thinking, no, I'm right, and everybody else is... they're not in my world.
Videotaping them is actually a good way to show them. So we will videotape them day one. And then after a couple weeks of therapy, we will retape them again, something simple as walking. And they can see the difference. And then they start to see the difference. And they'll start feeling it. Or, you know, family members may then tell them, oh, I noticed that you're talking louder, you know, or you're walking faster, or you're able to get in and out of the car better. So just, I think, the positive, them getting better, and then the positive feedback from the therapist and family members helps them buy in and seeing the difference.
Does Parkinson's ever work the opposite way? Do you ever have patients that are too loud or that make too big of movements where it's exaggerated?
Not necessarily with Parkinson's per se, but other neurologic issues like progressive supranuclear palsy, which is a mouthful to say for mm-hmm. a speech pathologist.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other diagnoses where they're using a little bit too much force or a little too much tension in the voice. In that case, we wouldn't use the LSVT Loud program. We'd use other methods or other modes and modalities of therapy.
Got it.
So what exercises can someone with Parkinson's do safely? I mean, can they ride a horse? Can they ride a bike?
I think it depends on the stage of the Parkinson's disease and if that was a realistic goal for someone. But I can see if someone's in an earlier stage of Parkinson's for them to ride a bike or ride a horse. Definitely.
One of my clients I recently discharged with great outcomes rode his bike 7 miles every morning.
Nice.
Wow. Before or after?
Just period. That's what he's done for probably 20 some odd years since he retired.
Did he lose that and you got him back to
No, he was still riding. He actually wasn't enrolled in physical therapy. He wasn't to that stage where he needed it, but I did educate him and help him understand that with the progression of the disease, there are certain things you need to look for. And if you see these things, to get proactive and get involved in therapy right away. And he and his wife were educated about that. So they have this information. See, it works the other way as well, where sometimes the speech and the voice characteristics haven't shown up, but physical therapy is seeing the patient. So we do cross-refer sometimes because we're trained to look for that. So we're identifying those symptoms early. And then one of the big important quality of life things for people with Parkinson's and healthy living with that diagnosis is to know what some of the progressive stages look like so that if they start experiencing those symptoms, they get into therapy proactively and early. Earlier equals better outcomes.
The studies have shown that the earlier stages of Parkinson's entering into the big program, they show beneficial results versus the later stages don't do as well. Mm-hmm. And continuing with the program, home exercise program, even after the intensive four-week program to continue for the rest of their life. And that is what has been shown to slow down the progression of the disease.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got more questions here. But we've got to take a quick break. So audience out there, stay with us. We will be right back to talk more about this amazing program at Alvarado Hospital.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and had the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Transition is always difficult, especially after surgery. At Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, we make sure it's as efficient as possible. As one of the highest-rated Medicare facilities in San Diego, we offer a variety of services to meet your needs. From subacute care to general physical therapy, we'll help create a plan to get you back to where you want to be. If your doctor recommends skilled nursing as your next step, come visit us and see how our skilled care has what you need to get back on your feet. For more information, please visit our website, villalaspalmascares.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. This show is actually sponsored by Alvarado Hospital, and we've got an awesome show. We've been talking about Parkinson's and a new program over at Alvarado Hospital. But Dr. Emder, with the whole Parkinson's thing, if somebody walks into your office and they think they might have it, or a family member is telling you that, you know, their family might have it, what are some of the things that you look for?
Well, first of all, I would say, you know, this is a really an underreported disease. You know, people have it for years and it's never diagnosed. And family members kind of ignore it. And, you know, even as a physician, you have to be trained on what to look for, because people won't come in and say, hey, I got a movement disorder, or hey, I got Parkinson's disease.
Right.
They usually come in for an unrelated a problem. And as you're doing your physical exam, what you see when they come into the office, they have like a shuffling gait, which is kind of the first as a tip off. Mm-hmm. They may have like a what we call a pill rolling motion of their fingers, where they're always kind of rolling their fingers back and forth. Mm-hmm. During the exam, we do a neurologic exam. Normally, when you move your arm, you have a nice fluid motion. But when you move the arm, and often I'm shaking the hands of my patients, I'm actually, you know, part of the exam.
Are
is
you really?
I'm checking them, you know, because you don't. We
Secret.
Only have 5 minutes to do an exam
trade.
These days.
Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
And what you'll find is their arm movement, it won't be fluent. It'll be like start, stop, start, stop. So these are basically the tip-offs. And then you start, you know, querying the family, and they, you know, yeah, we noticed that there was a problem, but we, you know, they don't have any reference. I've even seen family members, you know, go to a wedding, and Uncle George is kind of shuffling up to get his potato salad, and he'll say to his family, and he say, hey, you know, he's got Parkinson's disease. They go,
wow.
Oh, he has a doctor. He never made that diagnosis. And they usually call me and says, hey, you're right. He's got Parkinson's disease. So the problem is this disease is under-recognized, under-reported. And as Curry Caswell and Deborah Ross have mentioned, is, you know, the earlier you make this diagnosis and the sooner you get into treatment, the better it is to prevent progression of this disease.
Wow. Okay. Were you saying that there are also, does physical therapy kind of go hand in hand with medication, or?
Well, I mean, I'm trained. Medication, you know, is the hallmark for treating this disease. I really wasn't aware of this program, so I'm really glad to have you on the show. But usually the medications we start with are something called Sinemet. And you start in very low doses, you titrate the medication up. The reason why patients can get a lot of side effects, you know, including, nightmares and the night tremors, the night terror, and a lot of other side effects. There's a medication called bromocriptine. So there are a lot of treatments out, medical treatments. But what I didn't appreciate is there's great physical therapy for this disease, as we're learning from our guest today.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my first question to our guest is, do you also see that this is kind of an underreported disease?
I'll jump in. From a speech therapy standpoint, absolutely. I'm oftentimes working with an individual who's had a stroke or some sort of head injury or other medical-related issues. And as I'm looking at their history and I'm interviewing the family or the patient, I'm seeing this profile. It's a very distinct profile with Parkinsonism and Parkinson's. So I'll oftentimes ask, have you ever seen a neurologist? And the answer is typically no. And then I'm making referrals within the hospital setting for an identification and a diagnosis, because a lot of times, again, especially if it's caught earlier on, the medication can make a really big difference in terms of how a patient functions. And one of the things that we analyze as therapists is there sort of an on-off cycle effect, where the dose is wearing off, they're due for another dose. Are they noticing their movements really under-calibrating again, getting really slow, a lot more shuffling, a lot quieter voice, and that sort of thing. So absolutely, I would agree that this is underreported or underdiagnosed.
So who is a good candidate for your program?
As far as the LSVT big, you know, I not only think that it would be, you know, not only for Parkinson's disease, but definitely for any stroke patient that may have balance problems, just your general elderly person with balance issues. Some of the exercises can be challenging and can work on that for them. MS patients. So again, we do see a lot of patients come into the clinic referred for balance problems or falls, but they do present very much and have Parkinson's-like symptoms. So a lot of your elderly population, I do these exercises with a lot of my other patients as well.
Does Medicare cover this program?
It's very well received by Medicare because of the level of evidence that supports the outcomes and the efficacy. It's been received well since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you give us some of your success stories?
Yeah, I have a couple favorite ones to share. One patient comes to mind, we'll call her Mrs. L. And when she came in with her family and was very concerned about her future because she knew she had this progressive illness. One of the things that she noticed is that she wasn't getting out there being her social self. Her best friend had hearing aids. Her best friend was having the hardest time hearing her and understanding her. They would go to church, and with all the background noise and talking and singing, she felt she wasn't being heard. So she just found herself being more and more withdrawn, a little bit on the depressed side, feeling a little bit worried about her future and communication with her family and that sort of thing. So she enrolled in the therapy, and day one we had her seeing what she was capable of. And wow. She was very moved by that and became very, very motivated right off the bat. And I have to say one of the greatest outcomes I've had. Ultimately, when she finished our therapy, which is 16 visits total, she had joined a community choir called the Tremble Clefs.
Wow.
And was singing and a big sort of fixture in that particular club doing community outreach. They did a lot of singing for, you know, elder groups and things like that throughout the community. And she was out there dancing and doing some things that she hadn't done before. Or not that she hadn't done them before, but she certainly hadn't done them since the progression of her disease. So that's a great, great success story. And I have another one that I share with actually my patients, my new patients. This is Mrs. G., 94 years young. Mm. And the very first session when she sat down with me, she said in her very quiet Parkinson's voice, "I have Parkinson's, but it doesn't have me."
Wow.
And she wanted to do whatever it took. She had stories to tell, as people in their 90s, you know,
oh,
do.
Oh, yeah.
She had great-grandchildren that she wanted to share with. Just a wonderful, dignified lady that had lost a lot of her communication sort of oomph. So we restored that, and by the end of our sessions, by the end of her 16 visits, she was telling stories. She was painting again. In fact, she made an original for me. She wanted me to post it in my office so that I could share her story.
Oh,
that at
cool.
94 years of age, if she can do it, anybody can do it, and it's not too late.
Wow.
So tell us what goes on in a typical session.
So for speech, we're working basically with several things. The number one thing is we've got to help the individual calibrate. So we shoot for over-calibration. So that's why the program is called LSVT Loud. Their voice tends to be too soft, and their monotone is too flat. Their intonation is too flat. And their articulation is a little bit diminished as well, so that their speech comes across as not clear or a little bit rushed. So what we do is we help the individual calibrate, but we have to shoot for high so that they land somewhere around normal. So the program is called Loud. We're not teaching shouting. We're not teaching pushing or any kind of abusive vocal behaviors. We're just teaching good breath work. It's a bit like the gas in the gas tank. Your breath for your communication is everything. If you don't have gas in the tank, you're not going very far. If you don't have sufficient breath work, your communication's not going to go very far. So we work through the form and mechanics of how to have a good, strong voice without pushing. And then we work with their articulation. We use what we call their functional phrases, so 10 things they say every single day of their life. What's for dinner? Who fed the dog? Good night, honey. Sleep tight. Things like that. And then we train those individual tiny little components within a functional carrier phrase, 10 of them, in fact. And then this is what helps promote this generalization into their everyday communication.
Fascinating. Wow. Curry, what are you doing?
We have the patient go through a series of exercises, and I just to reiterate on what Deb says, we try to incorporate the Loud with the physical therapy exercises. So the gym, in the physical therapy gym, when there's Parkinson's patients in there doing the program, it tends to be really loud because we make them start counting out loud, and you'll have other patients looking and be like, what are they doing over there in the corner? So it definitely gets very interesting. So everything is big, loud movements. There is a protocol of exercises that we go through, and then we have some individualized exercises as well. But they're definitely is improvement over the weeks of the program.
So do you have any success stories for us as far as movement disorder?
There's one gentleman. He's 62 years old. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's around 2010. He had knee arthritis, so he had a knee replacement. So he thought that, okay, my knee is better. That's what was causing my kind of shuffling. He presented with more of a weakness on one side, which sometimes is typical of Parkinson's. There's one side that's a little bit weaker than the other. And he, you know, went through his knee rehab. He did really well. He started going to a 24-hour fitness gym. So he was working with a trainer. He was doing well, but he was still using a cane. He had some falls. So his neurologist sent him to physical therapy to start the big program. So he went through the whole program, and it was good for him because, you know, he was doing the typical exercise program, going to the gym, but it still wasn't quite enough. So through the end of the session, he was off his cane, no falls, and
great.
He was asked to write a letter to the gym. So he was doing really well, and he just actually came back to say hello and to thank us again for his improvements.
For our audience, if someone has a family member or they're concerned that, or they've already had this diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, how would they get into in your program?
Okay.
So that does require a physician prescription. And once you have that, basically you can contact us at the Alvarado Hospital San Diego Rehab Institute Outpatient Services, which is 619-229-7216. And we always like to refer people to the lsvtglobal.com webpage because they've got so much exhaustive information about the way the protocol's put together, the research and outcomes, how to find providers in your area, and that sort of information. So that's a really good resource as well.
Oh, fantastic. And Dr. Emder, if patients or our audience out there wants to get hold of you?
DrLarryEmder.com. I'm on the web.
That was simple. Yeah. And of course, we've got a Facebook page as well. So Aging Redefined Radio. Feel free to send us a message if you've got any questions. We'd love to make one of your questions a topic for our show. And of course, we've got a podcast as well. So Aging Redefined, just download it and can listen to any of our shows, including this one, past and, you know, when it's convenient for you in the car. So hopefully we talk to you next week. Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you, ladies, for being here. Thank Alvarado Hospital for the great program they've put together. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Kendra.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.